Tadhg, the we'll get into matters dealing with the Middle East, Gaza in a moment, but specifically on the Occupied Territories Bill. Finally, it has appeared at Cabinet with the intention of it going further. Tell us where it's at the moment.
Yeah, so this is the very first stage of this bill's life. You know, it's not quite the bill that was proposed in 2018 by Francis Black. It's more stripped back. It doesn't deal with the services element. It only deals with the trade of goods from the occupied territories. So where we're at now is that the first draft of it, essentially being the heads of the bill, have been approved. So this will be the all the sections of the bill laid out, and they'll be provided to the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs, and they'll go through it, they'll scrutinise it, they'll take a look, and that's expected to happen, you know, I think in advance of the summer recess. But there's been some talk now, I think, about potentially either expediting that or having Dáil sit through some of the summer recess to allow some of that pre-led scrutiny take place. You know, Simon Harris's spokesperson at a cabinet briefing this evening said that the Taoiseach would be open to that. It's been pressed for by, I believe, the Social Democrats, but we'll have to wait and see where that goes. It's a bit up in the air at the minute. But so essentially, what the bill does in general, it bans the import of goods from the occupied territories that Israel control in the Palestinian West Bank. You know, Ireland doesn't do a whole lot of trade with the occupied West Bank. That's just the fact. What would be more of this more significant element would be the services element, which, you know, could be tech, could be, you know, kind of these sort of, they're not material, but they're, you know, services. Right. It's a lot, and that's where the main bulk of things would be based from.
Okay, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not this mirrors Francis Black's legislation or not, because Francis Black's legislation doesn't specifically mention Israel or the occupied Palestinian territories by name. They could cover a multitude of things like Crimea or, you know, Moroccan occupied Western Sahara or whatever. Laura Harman, to you first on this. We'll get into just maybe some of the detail on Labour's own motion that's coming up tomorrow, but on this, on the Occupied Territories Bill, do you have concerns about what we've heard reported is going to be brought to Cabinet?
Well, firstly, I think it's welcome that there's action being taken. I mean, it's been 7 years since, you know, Senator Black originally put forward the Occupied Territories Bill, you know, from the Shannon originally. Now, look, it is concerning that there are potential, I suppose, waterings down of that, and we will have to see what exactly is being proposed by government in relation to services and goods. But look, the reality is we absolutely need to take action on this. Now is the moment in history. Now is the time for us to be leaders in relation to this. We can be the first country in Europe to do this. And if that means the Dáil and Shannon sitting every single day until the summer to get this done, then we need to do it. You know, this is an emergency. 55,000 people have been killed, since this began, since this genocide began. And we as a country, we may be small, but we can have significant power, and we have significant diplomatic power as well.
All right. Tom Brabazon, you know, seeing as it's only the heads of the bill going to a committee, could services not have been put in there and let the committee thrash out what the vexed issues are and see what comes out the other end?
Well, from a personal perspective, I have no difficulty with services going in, but I think there was a legal consideration. It's what that prevented it. But I think, you know, it's a great pity that we couldn't get agreement across the EU in terms of how we deal with this.
Right.
Because we're battling on our own respective trade, which is generally accepted as an EU competency.
Right. Although, you know, there are legal experts that Francis Black consulted with that said there's no legal issue with services, and Roderick O'Gorman, who was, privy to the legal advice to the last cabinet, said this never came up as an issue. There is a suspicion on the part of people who are proposing the Occupied Territories Bill and who are concerned at the pace of it that there are political and diplomatic considerations behind this rather than legal considerations.
Well, the legal considerations is what I've heard the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach mentioned on several occasions since the general election.
Okay. Charles Ward, do you welcome, first of all, that this is going to make it into the committee, whatever about the pace of it getting through and ultimately into legislation in whatever form it appears?
My fear is that it's going to be watered down. The reality is the government are saying legal advice, but the reality is every single month in Palestine there's 2,800 people dying. Now, in the Troubles in Northern Ireland, we had 3,000 people die over a long period of time. But now we have a chance as a country to make a stand and not to play a political football with it. Francis Black's bill, the Occupied Territories Bill, needs to pass. And if it doesn't pass, we're being complicit in genocide.
All right. Is there an opportunity, though, once it goes to the committee, for people to propose amendments, you know, call the legal experts? I think 400 Irish lawyers signed a letter saying that services could be included in it. But, you know, Charles, just to stay with you, and I'll go back around the table, there'll be an opportunity at committee to propose amendments, put that legal advice forward, and, as I say, see what comes out the other end.
But the document's there. So all we need to do, if it's going to be, Francis Black's meant to be meeting with the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste, I believe, and they're going to have a conversation about this. If there's a will, that's what we need, a will to make sure that we enact the Occupied Territories Bill. Right. It's very important.
Francis Blacktaig and the Tánaiste did have a conversation about this, and she wasn't entirely unoptimistic about what might be happening here. She was sounded pretty hopeful that something might happen and relatively quickly.
Yeah, so she's welcomed the progress on it. So we're probably a lot closer than we were at any probably stage in enacting the Occupied Territories Bill. I would say it seems to have some kind of government support. Whether that extends out to services, that's the kind of question we'll have to wait and see. But Frances Black welcomes the development, but she is still concerned about the long lead-in time for this bill. Like, I mean, if we're going to look at a prolonged, pre-legislative scrutiny, it's most likely going to be into the autumn before we're getting this bill, you know, kind of nearing enactment. It will take a long time, and I know that's been primarily what some of the criticism today has been about, is that really long lead-in time. You know, I think Duncan Smith of Labour saying that he's utterly angered by the sort of delay tactic, or what he's described as delay tactics. But you know, On the services element more particularly, and I think Francis Black is optimistic about this, and you know, and Simon Harris has said that he's willing to work, the Tánaiste is willing to work on her to see if services are possible. Now, there is an argument there from previous government sources, like you mentioned. Roger Gorman says that, you know, he saw he was privy to the AG's advice. The AG said it would be a political decision to redraft the bill and to not include services. So, you know, the government will have to, you know, figure to come to some kind of agreement here, or to force through their, you know, which is a watered down bill, because it's not what Francis Black piece of legislation would have done.
All right. Anyway, we'll move on to tonight's Sinn Féin motion, Tadhg. Just run us through what was in that.
Yeah, so there's been quite a bit since this motion kicked off this evening. So this was a motion from, or not a motion, a piece of legislation, I should say, that would essentially ban the sale of Israeli bonds and what Sinn Féin have described as war bonds through the Irish Central Bank. Now, the Irish Central Bank is essentially the hub for the sale of Israeli bonds. Previously, it would have been the UK, but then Brexit and the sort of ending of the UK's ties with the EU. Now Israel does its bond work through the Irish Central Bank. It's complicated. Like, it's you know, it's very technical. I'm not a financial expert, but essentially what they were proposing is that they would no longer be able to do this, that they would be banned from selling their bonds through the Irish Central Bank. The government have argued that this is impossible. They've said it's unworkable, that they can't change it due to existing EU law, and that it would break international law to do this, and that it would essentially constitute a sanctions regime, a unilateral sanctions regime on Israel from Ireland. Now, the opposition have pushed back on this. You know, Sinn Féin are saying, as alongside the Dáil's Office of Parliamentary Legal Advisers, saying this is possible. It's possible to do under the Irish Constitution. Whether or not that makes it agreeable to EU law is a different question entirely.
Right. And but just breaking news, the Dáil has been suspended for 5 minutes because Palestinian demonstrators are pro-Palestine demonstrators have started a chant in the public gallery.
So what happened there was is that seemingly during the debate, while Pascal Donoghue, the finance minister, was up speaking on the debate, there were, you know, some, I'm not too sure how many, it's kind of unclear at this stage, but there was at least one or two protesters up in the gallery who seemed to get up and start chanting "No more genocides" during the sitting, and it forced the sitting to be suspended for 5 minutes. Paula Butterley was the key look at the time. We have some more breaking news. I'm just checking our own app, the Irish Examiner app, is that a man has been arrested after the interruption. We're not 100% sure still. This is very much breaking, but it's quite an atmosphere in the Dáil this evening.
The demonstrators are being removed. It's been reported here that some shouted shame, some shouted disgrace at the finance ministers, while others shouted free, free Palestine. That may have been, if Pascal Donoghue was reiterating the point, Tom Brabazon, that he'd made before, that in order for Ireland to stop selling Israeli bonds, the legislation would have to be changed, and he wasn't minded to change that legislation. What's your understanding of the government's rationale for not moving on this?
Well, I suppose, first of all, from what I understand, is that the government's concerned about the reputation of the central bank being moved away from being apolitical to becoming a political player. That's one of the things. And then the other one is that the proposals do not impede the central bank from approving prospectus applications and would run counter to EU law if it was included in the legislation. As a large financial services centre, the introduction of legislation or regulations targeting a particular third country jurisdiction outside of the framework of the EU sanctions regime would undermine our offering as a stable, predictable country.
All right. OK, Laura Harmon, I think this is one of the areas that's going to be covered in the Labour motion tomorrow as well. So what's your understanding of the legal position?
Yeah, well, I believe that the legislation can be amended. And I mean, certainly if you're selling war bonds, I mean, I think that absolutely is political. And, you know, Labour would have supported Sinn Féin's bill in relation to that. The Labour Party is tabling a motion tomorrow where we are calling, for the government to be mandated, I suppose, to call for an emergency meeting of the UN, because this is an emergency. And part of that meeting would call for collective measures to ensure that we have a ceasefire, a lasting peace agreement. And I think most importantly and urgently, that we have an international peacekeeping force that can allow aid to get into Gaza, because we know that there are over 14,000 children now that are at risk of starvation if they do not get the aid that they need. So this is an emergency. It requires emergency measures. As I say, this is a time for leadership. I think our government will be remembered for the action that they take now, the action that they take on this particular issue. And we need to stand, with the right of the Palestinian people to exist. And it is a time for courage. It's a time for courage right now. And I think it's critically important that we get the Occupied Territories Bill passed soon as possible.
Do you know, and, you know, I don't know whether what your international law brief is on this, but the possibility of deploying a peacekeeping mission without the agreement of one of the parties there. I mean, there would have to be a ceasefire and Israel would have to be amenable to allowing a peacekeeping force in for that to be possible.
Well, I think absolutely. And I think that's why we need to have this emergency special session of the UN. It needs to be discussed, but, you know, it can be done. We have to get the aid in. Otherwise, you know, 14 children will die. And that is the reality of the situation here. You know, this is absolutely urgent. And look, it's heartening that the Labour Party's bill tomorrow is being supported as well by Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats, the Green Party and Independent TD, Catherine Connolly as well. And we have a protest at 5 p.m. outside the Dáil tomorrow.
Charles Ward, will you be supporting that Labour motion?
I will be supporting it, yes. I believe that Israel war bonds, we need to stop. It's time for courage now from the Irish government. They need to actually stop funding Israel's war effort. These war bonds, they've been using war bonds since 1951, Israel, throughout their history. And now the Irish government have the opportunity to stand up and say enough is enough.
Okay. It should be said that in the prospectus, they are not advertised specifically as war bonds, but, you know, they do say that they will finance all aspects of Israel's state expenditure. And I think in a separate interview that was done by somebody involved in the sale of bonds on behalf of Israel, saying that if people wanted to help Israel, they had an opportunity to invest in these bonds. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with housing.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.